Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on your Tuesday morning. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Plenty left to get to in this final hour. The baseball coverage on ESPN has just gotten underway. Tigers and Guardians at the top of the hour. We got Padres and Cubs coming up at, I believe it's 2 o'clock Central Time. We've got Yankees-Red Sox at 5. I believe you can listen to that on 94.9 The Fan. And wrapping up the night, Dodgers and Reds. So lots of great baseball. We'll talk baseball in the final half hour of the show, but I did want to get back into the Titans here. I saw this article from Pro Football Talk yesterday. Mike Florio wrote this. The title of the article, "The Brian Callahan Watch Is On." And here's just a couple excerpts from it. Plenty of coaches have been fired after only four games, with Tennessee's fourth loss this year coming in shutout fashion during a return to Houston. Owner Amy Adams Strunk quite possibly has seen and heard enough. But here is the interesting part. The overriding question for Strunk is whether she has decided to make a change eventually. Once that decision is made, there's no reason to not implement it. It gives, if nothing else, the team an extended runway to commence the search for a successor. Obviously, an interim hire would need to be made. There aren't many clear options on the current staff. He does mention Mike McCoy. Here's the sentence that I wanted to talk about. If Strunk were inclined to take a page from the 2022 Colts playbook and bring in someone from the outside, Chad Brinker, who currently has the keys to the football operations, spent plenty of time in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. It could take a little time to get the pieces in place. So, conspiracy theory here. Why has Brian Callahan not been fired? Are the Titans trying to set up Mike McCarthy to come in and take over midseason? I'm putting this in the box of, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, because that is 99% not the case. But I thought it was interesting that Mike Florio wrote that in this article, that if they were looking to set something up and get somebody in from the outside to take over for Brian Callahan, obviously that would take more than just one day to work out those details.
Yeah, it would take weeks, if not months, right?
I mean, I think it would at least, like, once they made the decision, if Chad Brinker said, like, I want to bring Mike McCarthy in now, I think it would probably take at least a week to iron out a deal. Which, is that a little shady?
Yes.
To hire someone behind Brian Callahan's back just to fire him once that deal's ready? 100%.
Yes.
But I thought it was interesting the way that Mike Florio put that, because I hadn't thought about it that way of, like, yeah, I guess if they wanted to do something like that, because the Colts did bring in Jeff Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Different situation. But if they wanted to do that, it would take some time to iron out all the details of that. Just throwing it out there. Again, I am not advocating for this. I don't think this is going to happen. I think the most likely scenario is Brian Callahan fired at the bye week and Mike McCoy takes over as the head coach. And then you hire somebody, could be Mike McCarthy, in the offseason. But I don't know if the Titans would be sold enough on Mike McCarthy to just not go through a coaching search. Well, I guess he would be the interim coach. They'd have to go through the real coaching search with the Rooney Rule and all that stuff. But, like, I can't imagine that they don't want to do their full due diligence on everybody available.
I think they should, obviously. But when it comes to the whole Rooney Rule situation, like you said, you go through your ABCs. I mean, if you already have somebody set in stone, just go after him. Like, if it is Mike McCarthy, because it seems like
that,
all signs are pointing that direction, right?
Like, you can make all of the connections with Chad Brinker, and you want an experienced head coach and somebody who's developed a young quarterback.
Could you imagine, it's a conspiracy a little bit, if they hire McCarthy and Brinker's out the door, like, a few...
Well, they wouldn't do that.
I know,
yeah.
But it would make me happy.
Brinker deserves more blame than he's getting.
Yes.
100%. But if they're going to let him choose the next coach, Mike McCarthy is pointing at you with big red flashing lights that could be the guy.
Right.
I wouldn't have a problem with it, quite honestly.
Hmm.
He has a good record in the NFL. He developed Aaron Rodgers. He won a Super Bowl. I know that you don't want to just, well, he won a Super Bowl and bring him in, but he has won everywhere he's gone. and he's proven that he can work well with quarterbacks. He's an offensive guy, and you don't have to worry about any of the stuff that you're dealing with Brian Callahan of not knowing the rules or not being able to run an organization successfully because he's done it twice. Like, I think it just makes a ton of sense. I would be on board with it. Is it the flashiest hire? No, but I think it might be the hire that the Titans would make and I think should make.
Yeah, I think it's the only logical one. My biggest issue is, like, can he win in the AFC? He's been in the NFC.
Well, so if Cam Ward's the quarterback, if he's the guy you hope he is, then yeah.
Okay.
Because quarterbacks is what, in the AFC, you get, if you have the quarterback, you can compete.
Right. I don't know. This is the fan speaking. Nervous. I'm just nervous when you don't. It's the mystery of the unknown for me. Like, I get McCarthy. He's seen his day. He's done a really good job. But is he still going to be that same quality coach when he comes to Nashville?
Right. Yeah. You don't know that, but it seems like that's the obvious choice. And I thought it was very interesting that Mike Florio put that in there of like, hey, if they're trying to bring him in, it might take a little bit. I'm not sure I like the idea of bringing him in as an interim head coach, because it's like, if you think this guy is the guy of the future, don't just plop him into a room with nobody he knows and like say, all right, this is your coach for the rest of the year. You have a game on Sunday. Go. Like, I think you need a little bit more of a succession plan and a way to work him in and let him choose some of his coaches. I don't know if you can just be like, all right, week 6, Raiders are on deck. You're on it, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, and I think also Titans fans would be very upset with that, because if you're halfway through the season and you're 0-7?
Yeah. After the Patriots game?
Yeah, 0-7. Titans fans are thinking, well, we're in good contention for the number one overall pick. Don't bring in an interim coach to give us momentum for 4 or 5 games and go 5-7. Then you've screwed up our future. Whereas you could get a high draft pick, and you leave Mike McCarthy with all the keys to the whole entire garage, your Corvette, your Ferrari, everything. Then you have all this ammunition, or in this case, gasoline tanks, to where you can go splurge and get a lot of draft capital.
No, I think a marriage of Mike Borgonzi, Mike McCarthy could make a lot of sense to try and get this team back on track. Those are two guys who have been around winning, and Mike McCarthy, a guy who, like, I saw some people saying, like, well, Mike McCarthy was only good because he had Aaron Rodgers. It's like, he was a large reason why Aaron Rodgers was good. Like, yeah. I mean, there, it goes hand in hand there.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Dustin from Hopkinsville wants to chime in on Mike McCarthy. Dustin, good morning. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. My first question is, how much longer do we have to pay Vrabel? Are we still paying him?
Vrabel, they extended him, I believe, through 2027. Because him and Robinson got the same extension, so I think... But no, he has a head coaching job, so they don't have to pay him anymore.
Okay, all right. So he's off the books.
Yes, but they are still paying Robinson and Carthon.
Okay, well, I mean, that's just the whole insanity thing I've been preaching. Keep doing the same thing. Trying to hit a home run on somebody that knows absolutely nothing or showed nothing yet. But yeah, I like the McCarthy hire. He has been on winning teams. Yeah, it's been with Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, he helped in developing him, and their defense has always looked freaking great. They always have great players in Green Bay. But I believe they need to hire him midseason or sooner, because as the season goes on, these other teams are going to start losing or they're going to find out, the Jets are going to find out their quarterback or their coach is not who they want, and they're the Jets, so they'll get rid of him in a year. You want to come after this guy right now while there's less teams in the hat and pay him. And you want a guy who's been tenured. You don't want another guy who is just – he's been this OC – under these teams that have lost, the Raiders and all these teams. And at one point he was under McVay for like 5 seconds. So go get McCarthy. He's want everything that happened in Dallas, erase it, because Jerry Jones is the coach, the owner, the GM. I'm pretty sure he's the janitor as well. But, yeah, I love the McCarthy hire, and it needs to happen soon because Brian Callahan is regressing. You are not going to know what you got with Cam Ward if you go the whole season with Brian. It's a trade-off. Yes, if we win five games, okay, we've got a winning product on the field. We ain't going to get as good a pick. But picking it at 5-10 isn't bad. And Borgonzi showed you what he can do in the fourth round. So I really like McCarthy, and I like him sooner than later.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. I get that of, like, if you know he's the guy, maybe that's the reason you don't want to go wait, is because you don't want someone else to swoop in. Like, Mike McCarthy, I'm looking at his, like, career. He's made the playoffs in all but 5 seasons as a head coach in the NFL. And, again, he's been doing it for almost 20 years. He's won over 60% of his games. He's got 11 playoff wins. And, like, Dustin says erase everything that happened in Dallas. He went 12-5 3 straight years in Dallas.
It's pretty good.
And his last year, like, Dak Prescott was hurt last year. So, I don't know. I would be on board for the Mike McCarthy. 2181 says, as a Dallas fan, I'm going to plead for the Titans to look elsewhere in regards to McCarthy. But, like, I really think that he gets a worse rap than he deserves. Like, that is a guy who has won and won consistently at the NFL level. And, again, has proven that he can develop a young quarterback. Like, it is funny. He was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco in 2004 when the Niners decided to draft Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
And then he went and took the Packers job and developed Aaron Rodgers into an MVP-level quarterback. So I always thought that was funny. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to your phones coming up next. More on a possibility. And, again, this is – I'm still putting it in tinfoil hat theory from Mike Florio that if the Titans were possibly looking at bringing in an interim head coach – an example given was Mike McCarthy. From outside, it might take a week or two to get those pieces in place. Could that be something the Titans are looking at? 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. We were looking at an article from Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio put out an article yesterday saying the Brian Callahan watch is on. And he mentioned in that article, and again, this wasn't sourced information. This wasn't any kind of actual report. It was just speculation of if the Titans were looking for an outside hire as the interim head coach, and he mentioned Mike McCarthy as someone with connections to Chad Brinker, that would take a couple of weeks to get into place. It makes you wonder, like, maybe could that be something they were looking into? Again, 1% chance. Maybe a little higher than 1%, but very low. But we were talking about the idea of Mike McCarthy just overall as the head coach, and I would be a fan of it. I know we did get a text here from Steven from Hendersonville. Says a listener on PK's post-game show asked about McCarthy, and PK questioned the hire, citing McCarthy is out of touch. Example being McCarthy showed the Cowboys scenes from Austin Powers, but the players were clueless. Sure, fine. Like, maybe he's not old, but I'm sure he could hire coaches who can connect with the players a little bit more.
If Mike McCarthy's out of touch at 12-5 in Dallas,
right?
I'll take
again.
That.
He won 30. Yeah, he went 12-5 three straight years. So he can show 70s and 80s movies clips to these players as much as they want. 90s. I don't know when was Austin Powers from. 90s.
90s. Yeah, 90s. Yeah, it's like 94.
He can show Ferris Bueller and all the like older movies. I don't care. Just win games. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Bud is on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wanting to talk about Mike McCarthy. Bud, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
All right. I think we can all agree without issue it's a train wreck over there.
For sure.
Right? Now, here's you've addressed one half of the Mike McCarthy issue, but not the other half. He's going to demand a lot. Is Amy going to give it to him?
That is a good point. And we were actually talking about that during the break, Bud, that he's going, you can't bring him in as the interim and not promise him that he's going to be the head coach of the future, which presents a whole bunch of issues.
I say don't bring him in as an interim. Don't let it happen.
Thank you for the call, Bud.
Hey.
I, right. I,
I agree. I think it would be complicated to do that. And I really don't, I don't think they're going to go out of their way to do that. Florio put this out there. I don't think there's any credibility to, like, this actually happening. It was just a speculation from him. Lester on our text line says, McCarthy is still getting paid from Dallas. Could possibly be a consultant, but some rumors are maybe a coordinator from Buffalo, Kansas City, or Ravens. Yeah, I mean, McCarthy could end up being a consultant. I've heard Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, Joe Brady, offensive coordinator from the Bills, or Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator from the Chiefs, could end up being Titans targets. But here's the issue that Nick and I were talking about during the break is, guess what? Mike McCarthy comes in if you did hire him as the interim head coach. And we're getting a little too deep on what is a very unlikely scenario, but let's say they hire him as the interim. He's going to want you to promise that he's going to be the head coach moving forward. He's not going to move to Nashville and take this job without guarantees that he's going to be the head coach beyond this year. Because for the Titans, like, what's the harm of, hey, bring him in, give him seven games with Cam Ward. If it doesn't work out, see ya. So Mike McCarthy's not going to sign up for that. But the NFL is going to make the Titans do a coaching search at the end of the year and follow all of the steps of the Rooney Rule. Not that it hasn't been made a sham before, Patriots this past year. But I don't know if the NFL is going to love it. It's just like, hey, you can't promise the guy the job before you go through all of these steps. And the Titans clearly aren't going to bring Mike McCarthy in unless he's going to be the guy for a couple of years at this point.
Yeah, and the caller Bud made a good point about Amy. Is she going to give him everything he wants? And I think Amy's got to just get out of her ways of having somewhat all the control, because we saw it under the Vrabel era where Vrabel wanted more control of the roster, of whoever to hire for GM, stuff like that. That it all went down into flames because they couldn't agree on things. And if that's the case with Mike McCarthy, then this Titans team is going to be continuously bad, straight up.
Yeah, it's all going to be interesting once this comes to a head. And again, it seems like it's a when, not an if question that Brian Callahan has let go. He's still here. And every time he steps on the sideline, there's a chance to move in the right direction. So far, it has not been moving in any kind of solid direction. So you think there's going to be a coaching search this year. Mike McCarthy, again, blinking lights right at you. That is the guy who makes the most sense. But obviously, there are other candidates out there. That's why I think this is a little bit premature to put this out there that he could be the interim. Is like, I think they will look at Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy gets an interview, but I think there are other sitting coaches on other teams the Titans would want to talk to before guaranteeing that Mike McCarthy is going to be the head coach.
Maybe they go defense. Maybe they want to say, hey, Robert Saleh, do you want to come interview for the Titans job? I mean, it's something to look into.
Robert Saleh, to me, feels like a guy who's a really good defensive coordinator but can't be a head coach. I think the guy you look at, and there's more complications with this because of the lawsuit, but Brian Flores in Minnesota,
yeah.
Like, I thought he was a fine head coach with the Dolphins, and his defense is awesome. And if he could bring in an offensive mind who can be the developmental guy for Cam Ward, we mentioned Mike McDaniel as a possibility.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury would come over to be the OC, but if he came over as the head coach, I don't know. This is it's going to be very interesting how all of this plays out, because the Titans can't get this wrong. You cannot, with a quarterback that you took first overall, heading into his second year, likely with a new head coach, you can't get it wrong. Because not only would that set the team back as a head coach, you set the team back a quarterback, because if you can't develop Cam Ward, this team goes from rebuilding to back to the bottom, having to find a new quarterback.
Yeah, they say, you know, when you draft a player that's like Isaiah Wilson, you set a team back for 5 years. If you get the wrong head coach, you're setting your franchise back 10 years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Right. I mean, it finding a quarterback is not easy. How many times do you get a chance to pick number one in the draft? Not very often.
Nope.
You took your chance on Cam Ward. as we'll have Corey Curtis on tomorrow from News 2 for his weekly visit. He'll be on for all 3 hours. He said last week, and I think that is this is the only way the Titans can frame any decision they make. What is the best decision for the quarterback? Because if you can get the quarterback right, and he is your starting quarterback for the next 10-plus years, everything else is going to be a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't mean that you're going to go win a Super Bowl, but it allows you to build the rest of the team without having to worry about the quarterback. So you have to do, you have to be able to make the right choice here with a head coach who's going to develop him. Ricky on the text line asked, why the hell would we want Matt Nagy? What did he do as the Bears coach? He went to the playoffs. Like, I mean, with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. Like, yeah. Matt Nagy was not as bad as people remember him in Chicago. It ended badly, and he kind of went up in flames. But early on, Matt Nagy was pretty good with Chicago. I'm not saying that that would be a good hire. I would say out of the player, the coaches I named, he'd probably be my least favorite. But I don't. There's the Borgonzi connection there.
Right.
Which would make sense. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Lots of texts on our text line. 8586 says the Titans can't afford to bring in a coach that's not known for his quarterback ability. It's fair. I mean, I don't know if you can bring in a defensive guy because you worry about whoever he brings as coordinator leaving. I think you do need an offensive guy. I think those guys that we listed off are probably the most likely candidates.
Yeah.
Add Kingsbury in there.
I know this is an outlier, but I mentioned this last week with Chase McJoe, Joe Brady.
Yeah. If you wanted to go young again,
yeah,
and at least it's a guy with play calling experience, but you run the risk of the same issues you had with Callahan of right. Is he ready to be the head coach?
Right.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Time to get into some baseball. It is the first day of the MLB postseason, although it is in September. We have not hit October baseball yet. Nick Frazier and I are going to talk about some of the biggest storylines as we get ready for the wild card games coming up at the top of the hour. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. 30 minutes left in the show. Chase and Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. And as always, on Tony Tuesdays, we appreciate Dr. Crane for doubling up with us on the show today. Corey Curtis will be in with us tomorrow. So excited for that. You guys, 12:15 today, Will Muschamp coming on?
That is correct.
Yeah, so make sure to keep it tuned right here for that. That'll be fun with Chase and Big Joe coming up just past the top of the hour at 12:15. We got playoff baseball coming up just past the top of the hour. My Detroit Tigers getting ready to play in Cleveland. I have low expectations for this team in the playoffs, which is sad to say when they had the best record in baseball for over the first half of the season. But anyway, a lot of storylines in the playoffs this year, and it's wide open.
Yeah,
I know the Dodgers are the favorites because they obviously have the best team. They've went out, they've spent a whole lot of money, but they're playing in a three-game series. And these three-game series in the wild card round, anything can happen. Like, it's baseball, it's random, and I think if the Dodgers can get through these next 3 days, which likely, I think they're lucky they didn't get the Mets. Apologies to our resident Mets fans, Teron Davenport, yeah. Willie Donick. Tough way to end their season. But if it was the Mets, the Mets have the talent to stack up against the Dodgers. In the three-game series, you have the firepower that you could win. I don't know if the Reds do.
We'll see what Hunter Green has.
Right, that's big. Hunter Green.
He's a big pitcher. Like, the fact you can throw 100 miles per hour for 4 or 5 straight innings against guys like Ohtani, Freeman, Betts. I just think that the depth of this Dodgers offensive lineup, it hits a different level. Like, with Teoscar Hernandez, Andy Páez, Max Muncy.
Right.
Like, those guys that don't really produce as much in the regular season, they hit a different level when they go to the playoffs.
Right.
I don't understand it.
It's not just the star players for the Dodgers. It's all up and down that lineup that they're going to be a tough out. Mm-hmm. And Blake Snell's going tonight. It'll be Yamamoto tomorrow. And then Shohei Ohtani is scheduled to pitch in Game 3 if necessary. It's going to be tough to beat them if they get out of this three-game set because they have the pitching, and I just don't know if they can match up. They'll have to play the Phillies next, which Phillies, that's a team they can hit with anybody. But Zach Wheeler, their ace, not going to be pitching in the playoffs. Correct. So the Dodgers, their path to repeat is not going to be easy. But I don't know if I can pick against them.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I don't know. Yamamoto just struggles sometimes in big pressured games. Like we saw his opening game this year when he was selected to pitch, he struggled. I think he gave up like 4 runs, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
Yeah.
Like he didn't have a great start. And then the whole elbow thing started to come back into play. And, you know, he had the whole elbow thing going back to high school, and they wanted to make sure he was treated for that and played through the majors. And now he's here at major league level. So I don't know. That's something to keep an eye on, though.
Dodgers going to be the favorite out of the NL. But we've got the Brewers, who locally, Nashville Sounds, Brewers AAA team. A lot of guys who made their way through Nashville on the team with the best record in baseball. So going to be interesting to watch them. They'll get the winner of Cubs and Padres. Mm-hmm. Parker, I know you'll be locked in on your Cubs. That series
while
is...
Well, I'm doing plaster.
It's 2 o'clock today? Did they start?
2 o'clock on ABC.
There you go. Okay. So my Tigers at noon, Parker's Cubs at 2. In the AL, the MLB got its dream. A 3-game Yankees-Red Sox series in the Bronx. That is...
It's cinema.
There's nothing... Outside of a Yankees-Dodgers World Series again, I don't think there's anything that the MLB wanted more.
Yeah, that right there is exactly what everybody needed. I think for the game of baseball in general, to get more eyes on the game, that's what you need. You need that rivalry matchup, Yankees-Dodgers. And the fact that it's in the Bronx, it only adds up a little bit. And plus, the Red Sox are great.
Yeah.
They've been playing great ever since.
You got Garrett Crochet going tonight. Like, it's going to be a really fun series to watch. The rivalry and the expectations for the Yankees because of the way they finished the year. Like, I know they didn't win the division. The Blue Jays were able to hold them off. But the Yankees, you look at that AL, the Yankees are the favorite, in my mind. The Mariners look really good. And if I had to pick a team to come out of the AL, I think I'd go Seattle.
Really?
The pitching is just it with Kirby and Wu and Castillo and Gilbert. Like, it feels tough to see anybody in the AL being able to match up with them, especially since they got the bye.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast recently with Colton Wong, and he was talking about his time in the majors and how, you know, in St. Louis it was a true pros pro organization. And then when he went to Seattle, he said they're getting there. This is a podcast probably about based off 2 years ago, said Seattle's getting there.
Yeah.
They have the intangibles to make a playoff push, but they don't have the pitching staff to really get them over the hump. And I think you make a valid point. They have a strong pitching staff this postseason to where they can make a run.
And they got one of the best closers in baseball with Munoz. Yep. And obviously Cal Raleigh just hit 60 home runs. They've got Julio Rodriguez. They got Randy Arozarena. Like, this is a team that's talented. And I really don't think people are paying enough attention to Seattle because I really think they could go win a World Series this year.
Wow.
Like, they are that good. They're playing good enough baseball right now. I don't know if I'll pick them to win the World Series, but I think I'd pick them to come out of the AL. John on our text line, having to rub it in. And he says he's a Browns fan, one of his earlier texts. I think he's a Guardians fan, too. Says, how about that, in all caps, historic Tigers collapse? Well, guess what? If we send you home this week, all's well that ends well.
Yep.
The Guardians can take the AL Central if the Tigers can beat Cleveland this week in 3 games. So game one over there starting in just about 30 minutes. Getting nervous. We got the AL Cy Young winner on the mound. But they're showing Gavin Williams on the TV right now. That is one of the more underrated pitchers in the league. He got off to a slow start this year, but he's pitched against the Tigers twice in the last 2 weeks, and some of his stuff is just ridiculous.
Yeah, the fact that he has 173 strikeouts on the season is pretty darn good. I mean, it's middle of the pack for the most part, but still, being a serviceable pitcher for the Guardians that, like you said, have this weird voodoo magic. I mean, just, hey.
They've made a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is. The game last week where they scored 3 runs without hitting the ball out of the infield, there's some sort of evil in Cleveland that allows them to keep winning games. I believe they finished the year with a negative run differential and still made the playoffs.
Seriously? Like,
it was close. They were at like minus three a week ago. Let me see. 3337 is not happy with our baseball talk. He says, hopefully we don't get a baseball team around here because I couldn't stand talking about baseball every day.
Oh, man.
I'd
fall in love with that.
That's why we don't talk about baseball a lot, is because clearly there isn't a local interest for a lot of people because there isn't a major league team around here. Yeah, Cleveland finished with a minus six run differential.
Holy cow.
The next closest playoff team in the AL was the Tigers at plus 67. So, anyway, I love talking about baseball, and we bring it up from time to time, but I figured today we got...
It's a loaded slate.
Would we rather 30 more minutes of speculating of when Brian Callahan could get fired, or talk about a major sports postseason getting going in 15 minutes?
Yes.
So we made our decision. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I teased it a little bit, but let's make some World Series picks on the other side. Who's going from each league? Who is lifting the trophy coming up at the end of the month? We'll get into it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly wrapping up the show after this here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly wrapping up the show. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. And again, don't forget, Will Muschamp, former Florida, South Carolina coach, going to join the program coming up at 12:15. Excited for that. We are wrapping up the show today, previewing the MLB postseason, because it does start in about 20 minutes. My Tigers taking on the Cleveland Guardians. We've got three other games today. Game one of these wild card series, Padres, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Reds throughout the rest of the evening. But it's time to make some picks here. Nick Frazier, who do you have coming out of the National League?
National League is tough. Phillies look good, but I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
You're going to go with the Dodgers? I hate it. I don't want to pick the Dodgers. Like, that's the last. I want to see anybody but the Dodgers in there.
Yeah.
I would love, like, a Mariners-Brewers World Series. That's just so – it's so fun.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand those aren't the biggest markets, but I would be way more invested in a Mariners-Brewers World Series. As you can tell, I've given up on my Tigers making it there. Than I would be a Yankees-Dodgers or Red Sox-Dodgers or something like that. Parker, I'm springing this on you, but who do you have coming out of the NL? Do you have your Cubbies making a run?
Here's the thing. Everybody's picking the Dodgers, and I'm not going to be like everybody else. There are a lot of people hating on the city of Chicago, including our very own Nick Frazier, which is a dang shame if you ask me.
I'm a Cardinals
There's one team that is going to make a run, and that is the team that has Pete Crow Armstrong and Shota Imanaga on the mound. And you're going to be hearing this after the 2025 Cubs win the World Series.
So you're not just picking them to win the NL. You're picking them to win the World Series.
Whole thing.
All right.
I had to take my headphones off. It was
just
too
Nick
loud.
Frazier doesn't want to listen to this.
I don't want to listen to it. I don't have to give my rendition of Go Cubs Go. Oh, it's still going. I'm not on the Cubs bandwagon. They got a lot of good players, don't get me wrong. If Ohtani wasn't a baseball player, Pete Crow Armstrong would be the NL MVP.
And fell off down the stretch.
Yeah, but still, maybe – he's a rookie.
At the All-Star break, for sure, he was in that conversation.
Yeah, they have the intangibles to be a good team, but as of right now, I can't lean that way. I'd have to go Dodgers. If I had to go an NLCS matchup, I'd say Dodgers-Brewers.
Yeah, I'll go Dodgers-Brewers in the NLCS. I'm not sure I believe on – I think the Brewers with home field advantage can beat the Cubs or the Padres. I'll go Dodgers-Brewers, I think Dodgers in six. Sadly, in that series, I'm going to go L.A. back to the World Series. I have the Chiefs syndrome here where it's like I'm going to feel like an idiot picking anybody but the Dodgers because the Dodgers are probably going to go to the World Series.
I'll be bold. I'll go Dodgers in five.
Okay. In the AL, who do you got? We got the two byes went to the Blue Jays and Mariners. Blue Jays have home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs. Then you've got Yankees, Red Sox, Tigers, Guardians in the wild card rounds. Who you got?
I like the wild card round primarily because we have the rivalry with, you know, Boston and New York, but I like Detroit getting it done. I'm not just saying it because you're sitting across from me. I like Detroit getting it done in the first round. That second round DS will be a little matchup. Yankees and Red Sox. To me, Red Sox are one of the hottest teams in baseball coming into the playoffs. I get because of the whole Devers trade, but they're hitting the ball so well. They're getting base runners. They're scoring runs. I'm still picking the Yankees. I want to pick the Red Sox, but I'm picking the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm going to go Yankees, win that series. I'm going to pick my Tigers to beat the Guardians.
There you go.
Mostly just wishful thinking.
A little confidence in there when you say it. Come on.
But
now.
I'm going to say the Blue Jays beat the Yankees in the DS. I like the Blue Jays.
Wow.
And I think it's going to be Blue Jays Mariners in the ALCS. I'm going to go Mariners in 7 in that series. I think Seattle goes to the World Series.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your World Series matchup is Dodgers Mariners.
West Coast. Wow. Going to be some late first pitches.
I mean, I have a rematch. I have Dodgers-Yankees, and that might just be chalk. People are like, oh, you're not picking well. I will be picking Dodgers-Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. This year, it's the Dodgers that's going to win once again, so back-to-back.
You got Dodgers going back-to-back. I'll go Mariners.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know, I said it last segment that I don't know if I could see them winning at all, but you know what? Just to be different, I'm going to go Dodgers fall to the Mariners in 7.
Now, I have a question for you when it comes to MVP races. Obviously, the AL MVP race is pretty tight with, you know, Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge. Now that the season's over with, the voting comes into play with all the writers. Do you think playoff implications have anything to do with this? Like some writers, they kind of like, no.
I think they have to put their votes in already.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'm just saying in general, like off of perception for you, would you...
I don't know. It's that race is about as tight as you can possibly get. I think Judge is favored slightly. And if I'm looking analytically at it, like who deserves it just based on their performance this year, I think it's Aaron Judge.
Absolutely.
Like Aaron Judge, he leads Cal Raleigh in every major offensive statistical category other than home runs and RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, everything, war, all that kind of stuff. But I also think maybe you get into the LeBron James category in the NBA of like, LeBron could have won 6 straight MVPs, but they started making it like a higher expectation of like, all right, we know you're good. Do something historic to win an MVP this year.
Right.
I think Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, if it's a tie, tie goes to Cal Raleigh for hitting 60 home runs. I would vote for Cal Raleigh.
Really?
Like, I think my head is telling me Judge, but everything else is telling me Raleigh should win it.
Look, I get that he played more games than Judge. Judge still leads him in every statistical category known to man, and he played like 9 less games. 60 home runs is a tough feat to get to, but I think if he got to 62 to tie Judge for that AL home run record,
yeah,
I think you could easily give it to
right.
him.
Right, that's a good point. It's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to unanimous. Like it's going to be a few votes that separate it, and we'll see. I think Judge is going to win it.
Yeah.
I do, but I would vote for Cal Raleigh.
Yeah.
60 home runs as a catcher, a switch hitting catcher, like.
It's impressive.
It's historic, and I think that deserves to be honored. Parker, before we get out of here, you have the Cubs winning. Who do you have them beating?
I'll go with you, Jake. I'll have the Mariners making it and the Cubs taking out the Mariners in the World Series.
All right. So a couple of us on the Mariners. You're on the Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs. No love for either of the one seeds going to the World Series, Brewers and Blue Jays.
I just think the Blue Jays are going to choke. They always tend to choke in the playoffs.
They've been good. The pitching is what...
Yep.
I don't think they have the pitching to match up with Seattle for a 7-game series. That's where I am.
Yeah, I don't know if Scherzer has it left in.
Right. Like, if you're running out 41-year-old Max Scherzer in a playoff series, I loved running him out for the Tigers 10 years ago, but...
It's batting practice at this point.
I mean, he's had his moments. Like, he still shows flashes of being... good, but he's nowhere close to what he was even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That'll about do it for us on the show. Big thanks, Nick Frazier, for hopping on.
Thanks for having us.
Glad we could do some baseball talk there at the end. I know we got some people on the text line who love it. Wes and Hermitage, I thought this was funny. That's how you know things are super bad in Nashville. We're talking MLB for a half hour. Thanks, Titans.
Hey, Nashville SC plays tomorrow in a cup final.
There you go.
7 o'clock, CBS.
That is in Austin.
That's correct.
There you go. Make sure you tune in for that. Follow along with Nick Frazier. I'm sure he'll have all your updates there as Nashville SC looks to take home a trophy. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis on for his weekly visit for all 3 hours from News 2. We'll talk plenty of Titans, plenty of Vanderbilt, Alabama. Corey last week was saying he's picking Vandy to beat Alabama. We'll see if he still is on that train. We'll do all of that tomorrow at 9 a.m. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. Will Muschamp at 12:15 with Chase and Big Joe. Make sure you keep it tuned right here on 102.5 The Game.